Eliezer, Perek Chof. We're holding towards the end of the Perek. Just the last week, we pretty much zoomed through the first half of the Perek. I said it very big kitzer. So I just want to speak about a few points that had to do with last week's, what we spoke about last week. One nekuda is, we spoke about Moitzei Shabbos, what to do about Havdalah, with that Adam Rishon took that Moitzei Shabbos when Adam Rishon was first created, so he was scared because Shabbos was light the whole time and it was protecting him from the snake. Then Moitzei Shabbos it was dark, so he was scared that maybe the snake is going to come and bite him. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent for Adam Rishon an Amud Shel Eish, a pillar of fire came and lit up the night for him so he wouldn't be scared of the snake to come bite him. Alright? That Hashem made a fire come for him. We mentioned also that the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Nandal Rabbi Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared two rocks for Adam Rishon, and he took those two rocks together, he hit them together and he made a fire. So especially we see a sort of a machlokes between the Gemara and the Medrash over here. If Adam Rishon created the fire through these two rocks, like the Gemara Pesachim, or from the Medrash over here in Pirkei Avos, it was a complete nes that the fire itself came. Hashem sent the fire directly. Okay, that's one nekuda. Either way, Stam, the point is that the first fire was created on Moitzei Shabbos. It wasn't created during the Sheshes Tzmei Breishis. We spoke about earlier in Perek Yud Ches why the Isra of Havara on Shabbos, of burning a fire on Shabbos, would be different than other Isurim on Shabbos. And we said because it's not one of the Malachas that was by Moitzei Breishis. It only came after Moitzei Breishis. That was said from Avianus and Eibishitz. So in Pirkei Avos it says basically that, you know, even if you made Havdalah in Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to still make Havdalah again on a Kais, and also you're supposed to take a fire and make a bracha of Bari Me'ariya Ish. So the Medrash said, what if you don't have a fire? So it says that if you don't have a fire, you can look up at the stars and make a bracha of Bari Me'ariya Ish on the stars. Surely. And the Radal says that according to the Gemara, it sounds like you can't make a bracha of Bar Meri Eish on the stars. You have to make it on a fire. So he says, what's the difference? So one shot that the Radal says in Ois Chof Aleph, it says that it's dependent on how you understand the origins of fire. Meaning the Gemara said that Hashem gave Adam Rishon two rocks, and Adam Rishon himself made the fire out of those two rocks. Right? So according to that, what type of fire should you make a Bari Meri Eish on Moitzei Shabbos? A type of fire that's man-made. And even if you'll say that the stars in the sky are considered a fire, which the Radal himself is not so sure of, even if you'll say that, it's not a man-made fire. So you can't make a Bari Meri Eish on it. But according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that the fire that came to Adam Rishon on that Moitzei Shabbos wasn't a man-made fire. Hashem sent the fire. He didn't send the rocks. He sent the fire. So you see that even on a heaven-made fire, you can make a Bari Meri Eish. So therefore, on the Kechovim, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says you can make a Bari Meri Eish. That's what the Radal says. Then the Radal has an interesting thing in parentheses. He asks, what about a fire that comes from lightning? Lightning hits something and it caught on fire. Or if you have a volcano and the lava ignited something and made it on fire, are you allowed to make a Bari Meri Eish on that fire on Moitzei Shabbos? Because it's not necessarily man-made, but Hashem didn't send out a fire. The fire sort of came out through Teva. He writes that he's unsure. It's an interesting point. And we know that in Halacha there's a difference between Moitzei Shabbos and Moitzei Yom Kippurim. On Moitzei Shabbos, so the halacha is, you're supposed to light a new fire on Moitzei Shabbos. Just like Adam Rishon lit a new fire, the Gemara says that he got two rocks and he put them together and he made a fire, so too, we on Moitzei Shabbos, we light a new fire and we make the Bari Meri Eish by Avdallah on a new fire. That's what we do by Moitzei Shabbos. Moitzei Yom Kippurim, it's not Moitzei Shabbos, it's Moitzei Yom Kippur. There's a different reason why we have a fire on Moitzei Yom Kippur. There's a halacha, it's brought down in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Orchaim Simin Tov Reish Chav Talit, that the halacha is a Moitzei Yom Kippur, you're supposed to use what's called a Ner Sheshavas, a fire that rested on Yom Kippur. Because there's a halacha that you're not allowed to light. The reason why you make a fire, on, why you say Bari Mara Ish on Havdalah on Maitzei Yom Kippur is not because of Shabbos. By Shabbos, it's a zecher to other region. Maitzei Yom Kippur, the reason is because it was also to make a fire in Yom Kippur, so now you're showing that it's mutter to make a fire. But you have to use a fire that it was mutter, that it's a mutter to take a fire. It wasn't an usher to take a fire. Yeah, the place can discuss this over there in Siman Tafresh Chavtala, the Beis Yosef, and others. That's one nekuda. Another nekuda is, this is an interesting thing. I think you'll particularly enjoy this. The Seder Deris in the year Aleph Tafresh Nun Zion, Seder Deris brings that in the name of a sefer called Shalshal Kabbalah. It says that Tiras, the son of Yefes, was the first person to take two rocks together and make a fire. That's what it says in Shalshal Kabbalah. So the Seder Deris asks, Gemara says, Adam Rishon is the first person to take two rocks and make a fire. So I could just say that it was Tiras ben Yefes who lived after the Babel. So I was thinking that maybe the Shalshasa Kabbalah is talking about after the Mabul, but Adam Rishon is before the Mabul, so that doesn't count. We're talking about like in the new world, the world of after the Mabul. Maybe you could say such a Teretz. But the other Teretz I was thinking is, it could be the Shalshasa Kabbalah holds like the Pirkei Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer holds that Adam Rishon didn't take two rocks and make a fire. No, Hashem sent a fire for Adam Rishon. So who was the first one to take two rocks and made a fire? Could be that was Tiras ben Yosef, ben Yefes. So that's how I would answer the Seder Deris' question.
Well, what were they doing until Yefes?
What were they doing until Yefes? I don't know. Maybe they didn't have a need for a fire. You're right. I mean, personally, I think that the answer of the new world, after the Mabul was a new world, and we're talking about that new world, so then that I think that that's a better Teretz. But if you want to ask it, it doesn't work with the Gemara. You could say it doesn't work with the Gemara, but it works with Pirkei Eliezer. Another point that it says that we're in, just the last point that has to do with last week, it says that if you don't have a fire, so you should take a rock from the ground and make a bracha of Baruch Hamav Dabei Kodesh Shecho. Pashas, it sounds like he doesn't say that you should make a Bari Mara Eish on taking a rock. So what's the meaning of a rock? I mean, we're talking about a person who already said Havdalah, he already said Havdalah in Shemoneh Esrei. Right? And he doesn't have a cup of wine to say Havdalah again, so there's no reason to say Havdalah. He doesn't have a fire, and we said last week that Pirkei Eliezer holds that you would make Havdalah again on just a fire, even without a kais. At least that's what the Beis Yosef said, that the Torah had such gears in Pirkei Eliezer. Picking up a rock from the ground, why is that a reason to say Havdalah? So the Bach says, or even if you would say it's not an Indian of Havdalah, but like, what's the Indian of picking up a rock? So the Bach in Aruch Chaim in Hilchos Havdalah says that the Indian of picking up a rock is that, oh, we know that Adam Rishon created the first fire by taking two rocks together. So picking up a rock is like a zikr to that fire that Adam Rishon created. So the Radal says, yeah, that's good if you learn like the Gemara, but we're not talking about the Gemara, we're talking about Pirkei Eliezer. Pirkei Eliezer understands that Adam Rishon didn't take two rocks together, Hashem sent a fire. So what's the Indian of picking up a rock? So he says, yeah, even so, you still have to say that there's an Indian of, we know that Lamayisa, fire could come from a rock, so picking up a rock is also still a zecher to the fire of Adam Rishon. Even though that's not the way he made the fire, but we know that there is a way of making a fire through a rock, so that's good enough. Fine. Now we'll get to where we're up this week. We're up mamish towards the end of the parak. Yeah, the word be'echa b'shabbos. What page is it? Is that the same print? You guys have the same print,
yeah.
I think.
Chapter 96.
I don't know the exact. We're on the way here, let me show you. Let me see if I can find it quickly. Here, Be'echa B'Shabbos. Right? So until now we spoke about Adam Rishon, that he got kicked out of Gan Eden on Friday afternoon after his chait. After his chait, he got kicked out of Gan Eden, and then he spent Shabbos, and what happened with the Shabbos. So now we're holding by Sunday. What did Adam Rishon do that Sunday after he was created? He was created Friday, got kicked out of Gan Eden, and he spent Shabbos tachtonim, etc. So what's he doing on Sunday? Be'echad b'Shabbos, on the first day of Shabbos, meaning on Sunday, that Sunday, nichnas Adam b'megichin ha'elyon. Adam Rishon went into the upper waters of megichin. What's megichin? So the Radal brings two explanations. He brings from Rashi that megichin ha'elyon is another term for what we call Mei HaShiluach, which is a spring that goes through Yerushalayim, Mei HaShiluach. And the context of it's Rashi in Brachos, it's also in Harius, the Gemara talks about how we coronate a king next to a river or a spring. They speak about this by Tashlich. That's why it's supposed to do Tashlich by running water, because the symbolism is that just like this water is running and everlasting or whatever, so then this king's reign should be everlasting and refreshing and etc. So there's the Indian of running water. So that's what Rashi says, that it's talking about that spring that goes through Yerushalayim. He brings from the Ramah and the Ein Yaakov and Harius that says that, no, Mei Gichon is talking about the river Gichon. It's mentioned in Parshas Bereishis that there were four rivers that come out of Gan Eden, and one of them is Mei Gichon. So he says that that's what it's talking about. In a few minutes we'll see that there's another source that also says the same thing as this Pirush Ramah, not like Rashi.
No way where the water name comes from. The water company.
The water company. Mei Gichon, that's where it comes from, yeah. So, see, it's Kedah that comes this year, just to know that. So Adam Rishon entered the upper Megichon waters, until the water reached his neck. And he fasted for seven groups of seven days, meaning he fasted for 49 days, 7 times 7 days. Until his body became, there's three gersois over here, but the first gers is kimin kvar, like a sieve. A sieve is like something you use to like sift things, right? It has like a bunch of holes in it. So apparently Adam Rishon was sitting mamish in the water for 49 days fasting, and like the water was like going through his body, and there were like holes in his body, like he was being mitzayer himself. We'll explain in a moment that this has to do with the process of tshuva that Adam Rishon was putting himself through in order to be mechaper. Chava, I don't know.
Sounds like Adam took it all upon himself.
It's interesting. When we find all kinds of like sigufim and inuyim about tshuva, from what I remember, the poskim say that it doesn't apply to the women. It could be. I'm making this up, but it could be. It says this in the Shalos Tshuva Shavus Yaakov. There's a story over there about somebody who committed adultery or whatever, and he gave like a whole seder of what to do for tshuva for the man. And for the woman, he said like, he gave her either a lighter sentence, where he said like not to do any of these like things like fasting and like rolling in the snow, like this type of stuff. He says like the woman shouldn't do it. I seem to remember something. You can't quote me on it because I didn't look it up. But maybe I seem to remember such a thing. Yeah. The other girsa in the Yalkut Shemaini, in Remez Lamedalad in the Yalkut Shemaini, it says that he fasted, he was there in the river until his achinasa gufoi ki reikash al pnei amoyim, like the green thing that's on the sea. That this phrase reikash al pnei amoyim is used in the Mishnah in Besachah Shabbos in Perek Beis. So if you say it in, if the phrase sounds familiar, it's because you might be saying it in Bamei Madlikin on Lil Shabbos, but. The Bartanur Rashi and Shabbos also say that it's talking about when you have a boat that's seaside for a long time, and it ends up growing like some sort of green. I think it's a moss or some sort of mold or something on the bottom. Algae, some sort of algae. It's like a green thing that grows on the boat. So he says that that's what it means. The Adamishan's body turned green because he was sitting in the river for so long. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach, the Zayis Ranan. On the Yalkut Shemaini, it says, "Achinasa gufoi kiliboy," until his body became like his heart. And the Zayis Ranan says, "What does it mean? It became like his heart?" It says, "Like a heart is like red and weak." I don't know where he gets the weak thing. If your heart is weak, then you're sick. But it says that his body became like red. So I guess the Mochlikas Mitzvah happens if you stay in there for 49 days. Do you turn green or you turn red? I don't know. So what was Adam Rishon doing all of this? Amar Adam Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Adam Rishon said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Kol Olam, Master of the Universes, Ha'ave Enocha Tosi Mi'olai V'Kabbalat Tshuvasi. Please remove from me my sin from upon me and accept my tshuva. The Radal says like there's like two lashonos over here, like remove my sin and accept my tshuva. So it's like one is talking about Olam Hazeh, remove my sin and accept my tshuva for Olam Haba. V'yilmadu Kol Hadoros Sheyesh Tshuva. And by accepting my tshuva, Hashem, you're going to teach all of the following generations that there is such a concept as tshuva, v'ata mekabel tshuva shovim, and that you accept the repentance of those who repent. So Adam Rishon is saying to Hashem, please accept my tshuva. Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do? Pashat yad yeminai, he stretched out his right hand, k'biyachol, and he removed the avera from upon Adam Rishon, and he accepted the tshuva of Adam Rishon. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, my sin I will let you know about, and my iniquity I didn't cover, meaning I admit what I did wrong. And the end of the pasuk says, and you carried upon my the iniquity of my sin forever. Sela means forever, usually, sometimes. So Adam is just saying that I did vidui, I admitted my sin, and Hashem, you took care of it. Sela, what does it mean? Sela forever? Min ha'olam hazeh, v'sela min ha'olam haba. Forever meaning in this world, and forever meaning in the world to come. Like the Radal said, that he was asking for two things, for olam hazeh and olam haba. So Hashem granted him his tshuva.
Why do we still die?
So what I think Hashem accepted the tshuva of that, we like we spoke about in the previous parak, that really we would have thought that Adam Rishon is supposed to be killed the day that he did the sin. So maybe not mamish that day, maybe like a few days later or something like that. So Hashem pushed off his death for 930 years. That's what it means, that the Hashem forgave him for Olam Hazeh. I mean, he's still going to get some sort of punishment, but it's going to be not right now. It's going to be like way later.
Well, I don't live 970 years.
What?
I never lived 970 years.
930, yeah.
930. So that's a long time to live. We gave 70 years to David HaMelech.
Yeah. Well, so we talk about if he gave it to David HaMelech or Hashem gave it to David HaMelech.
Okay.
Exactly
but,
how that works.
But still, I mean,
but the other thing that the Radal says is that Hashem accepted his tshuva, that he won't have to go through suffering in Olam Hazeh. So that's another thing.
Sounds like you already went through a lot of suffering in the river.
Well, he put it on himself. Yeah, Hashem didn't bring it on him. Okay. But there's a lot of things to discuss about this medrash over here. Let's start like this. What was Adam Rishon doing in the river? Why did he go into the river? So I guess
he was doing tshuva. What do you think he was
doing? Oh, he was doing tshuva.
Yeah.
What does going into river have to do with tshuva? Let's ask it like that.
Okay.
Let's ask it like that. What does doing tshuva have to do with going into the river? By the way, we said that this is happening on that Sunday after Adam Rishon was created, that he started fasting for 49 days or whatever. Let's pause for a moment and make a cheshbon. What day of the year was that Sunday? It should be
day,
very
year one.
What day of the year?
It was eight.
Hashem made
Adam Rishon
traded on Friday.
On Friday, that was Aleph Tishrei, yeah. Shabbos is Beis Tishrei.
So
Gimel Tishrei, that's today. So Adam Rishon started fasting today on Sim Gedalia. That's when he started his 49 day fast. So don't worry, you only fasting for one day. He's fasting for 49. That's Mamash today. In Yonah Diyoma. Okay. So what's the Indian? What's the Indian? Why was Adam Rishon? What was he doing in the river? It's like this. We know that there's a minig brought down in the Pesachim that you're supposed to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So why do we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur? So there's two reasons brought down in the Pesachim. The Maril says in Hilchos Erev Yom Kippurim, the Maril says that the reason why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is because it has to do with tshuva. Why? What's the Indian of going to a mikvah? Who goes to a mikvah? Or let's say, what man goes to a mikvah? A ger. A ger is a non-Jew. He goes to the mikvah, and then he becomes a Jew. And we say, Chazal tell us, Gemara in Yevamos, ger shen is ger, kekatan shen oyled tamei. A ger who converts is like a new, is like a newborn person. He's a new person. That's the Indian of tshuva. Tshuva is that you make yourself into a new person. That person who did all those averes, that was a different person. Now I'm a new person. I don't do those averes. So that's the Indian of going to the mikvah as tshuva. Is the Maril says it's like gesher, it's gesher, kekata shadala dami, like a ger. You're trying to show that you're a new person. That's one Indian of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. The other Indian of going to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, the tour in Or Chaim Simin Tov Reish Vav, says a different reason. This is a based on Pirkei Deb Eliezer later on in Perek Mem Vav. Later on in Perek Mem Vav, Pirkei Deb Eliezer talks about how Klal Yisrael and Yom Kippur are like malachim. If you ever heard such a thing, you know, there's the Indian Dafka to stand, the whole davening on Yom Kippur, because like a malach stands, we wear white because we're supposed to be like malachim. All these things that we want to be like malachim on Yom Kippur, it comes from Pirkei Deb Eliezer and Perek Mem Vav. Right. Well, that's an Eser Daraisa, but it could be that there's an Indian of being medamen to a malach.
Well, it does say then that a man compared to a malach in three ways.
Yeah.
He speaks Hebrew, he stands upright, and what's the third one? The third one is the three ways a man compared to an animal.
Yeah.
So on the temple, we don't do those things compared to animals.
It's Gemara Chagiga. That's what it is. Gemara Chagiga says a man is like an animal, is like a malach in three ways,
right.
And like an animal in three ways. Because Hashem didn't want to make a jealousy between the different elements of creation. Cool. Right, so you're saying those three things that we're like an animal, we don't do Yom Kippur. Very interesting. But so the Pirkei Deb Eliezer and Perek Mem Vav that the on Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael is like a malach. One of the things that they like about is that they're nucky. Like malachim, they're clean like malachim. Our girsa Pirkei Deb Eliezer actually says that they're naki mechait like malachim. They're clean from sins like malachim. But the way the Torah brings it just says naki, they're clean like malachim. And the Torah says, so what does it mean that they're clean? So it says, well, a malach doesn't have tumas keri, and a person does. So that's why on Erev Yom Kippur you should go to the mikvah so that you can be like a malach, that you're clean from tumas keri. That's what the Torah says. So the Torah understands that the Indian of going to the mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur is to cleanse oneself from tumas keri. So there's two reasons. One, because like you're like a, it has to do with tshuva, like because you're like a ger. And the other one is because it has to do with tumah v'tayra. It's coming to clean you. So the Ramah, interestingly, the Ramah in Hilchas Gerus in Yeridah Simin Reish Samach Zayin Reish Samach Ches says. And the idea that a Baal Tshuva is supposed to go to the mikvah. He says that, you know, a Jew who, let's say, converts to Christianity and then he reverts to Judaism, so he doesn't have to go to the mikvah because the fact that he converted to Christianity, that doesn't make him not a Jew anymore. Of course, he's still a Jew. Yisrael Afa Pishachat Yisrael. Right? But the Ramah says, still, he should go to the mikvah because there's an Indian, Derabanan, whatever, because of Tshuva, you're supposed to go to the mikvah. So he said the Ramah holds that there is an Indian of going to the mikvah because of Tshuva. But the Ramah in Hilchas Yom Kippurim says two halachas which seem to suggest that he understands that the tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur is not because of tshuva, but rather because of keri. One halacha the Ramah says is that the Gemara in Bracha says that for a Baal keri to become tahar, either you go to the mikvah or you pour upon him nine kabim of water. So the Ramah says on Erev Yom Kippur, it's good enough to just have nine kavim of water poured upon you. So you see that he understands that it's because of keri. That's one thing that the Ramah says. The other thing the Ramah says is that since it's only because of keri, so you only have to go to the mikvah, you only have to dunk once. You don't have to dunk like three times or whatever. You dunk once, that's good enough. That's what the Ramah says. The Magen Avraham says, he brings from the Rekech and other Mukubalim, whatever, they say, you know, the reason of tefillah on Erev Yom Kippur is not just because of keri, it's also because of tshuva, it's also because you're trying to make yourself like a new person, and therefore they say tisha kabin mayim doesn't work, you need to really go to the mikvah, you can't just take a long shower or something. And also they say that, you know, Al-Pi Kabbalah, you're supposed to go 3 times or 7 times or whatever, different minhagim in Kabbalah. Maisa, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman, in Sifkat and Chaf Aleph, is Cheshish for the Magen Avraham. And that's I think the minig nowadays, that, you know, everyone goes to the mikvah and Erev Yom Kippur, that's coming from this Magen Avraham, says that the reason is not just because of Keri, but it's also because of Tshuva and the Indian of Tyra, and like it's like a ger. Another nafkamin that I brought down, another nafkamin would be the Ramah and the Magen Avraham, would be if a person already went to the mikvah and Erev Rosh Hashanah and didn't see Keri since then, and now it's Erev Yom Kippur, so does he have to go again or not? So if it's only because of Keri, so then the Ramah will tell you, okay, you don't have to go because you're already clean. If it's because of Tshuva and like a Gesh Nizgayer, so it could be the Magen Avraham will tell you still have to go again. Okay, Al Kapanim, we see that there's an Indian of going to the mikvah as a means of doing Tshuva. And in fact, there's a famous idea. It became famous because they bring this down, the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva brings it down, they bring this down in regard to Tshuva, but there's a halacha that says that toivel, if a person is toivel v'sheretz biyadai, a person is tame, right, and he goes to the mikvah and he's holding an impure insect while he's going into the mikvah, right? So the Tosefta in Mesachas Tainis, the beginning of the first parak of Tainis, the Tosefta says, a toivo v'sharetz b'yada, person who's going to the mikvah while he's holding a sharetz, it says even if he goes into meshilua, it's still not, it's still he's still tummy. It doesn't work because you have to remove yourself from the tumah in order to cleanse yourself from the tumah. He's not removed from the tumah, so the tire doesn't work even if he went into meshilua, right? So you see that what's the even Meshiluach? Why is Meshiluach better than, I don't know, the Danube River or the English Channel? Why Dafka Meshiluach? I don't know why. But the Radha says, you see from that Tisefta that there's an Indian of going and being Metoivel Dafka in the Meshiluach to do Tshuva or whatever. There's a special Indian of Dafka Meshiluach.
So he says,
no, Meshiluach is in Yerushalayim.
No, the
Meshiluch
of the
Chumash
Breshes.
That's Gichon. That's the other Shita. We'll see in a moment that there is someone that holds it.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the one that the Adam Meshiluch.
One second. So the Radha says that there could be the reason why the Indian Dafka to be Tevil in the Meshiluch is because that's the river that comes out from the base of Mikdash. Right? By the Haftarah of Shabbos Cholamoid Sukkos. It's talking about the Meshiluach is going to come back. It's going to come out from the base of Mikdash. But the point is that the Radha says that you see that there's an inyan dafka tevel in the Meshiluach. So we ask the question: what was Adam Rishon doing in the river? This is what he was doing in the river. He was doing tshuva in the river. This was part of his tshuva. He was being tevel in the river as a mahalach of tshuva. And dafka meshiluach, because we see there's an inyan of dafka meshiluach. That was an extra way of afflicting himself or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, dafka, he was sitting here in the meshiluach. It's like you reminded me of something that I was gonna say. Now I forgot what it was. So yeah, that's where Adam Rishon was being tevil in the Meshiluach as a means of Tara. So we said that there's an Indian of tevil v'sheretz biyadai. So I mentioned it. We said what it has to do with in Hilchos Tumah v'Tara. But I briefly said that, alluded to the idea that they bring it down in Hilchos Tshuva. Just if you're not familiar with it, they say that if a person does vidui without doing aziva sachet, a person admits that he did sins, but he doesn't stop doing the sins, so that doesn't help for his tshuva. Because you're being toivel, you're trying to cleanse yourself while you're still holding on to the thing that's making you tummy. So first a person, and the Rambam says it like this, first you have to leave the chet, stop doing the avera, decide you're going to stop doing the avera, and now you can start cleaning yourself from the dirtiness of the avera. You can't clean yourself while you're doing the same thing. Come on, that's a simple idea. The sefer you might be familiar with, called Raziel HaMalach. It's like a Kabbalah sefer, a very interesting sefer actually. I don't understand what it's talking about.
From fire, no?
Yeah. If you really keep the sefer in your house, it's supposed to save your house from fire.
Yeah.
It actually says that in the sefer, that if you have this sefer in your house, it saves it from fire. Usually they sell like very, very small ones. For some reason. For some reason, when I was a teenager, I thought it would be really cool to buy like a leather-bound one that has like letters that you can actually read.
Right.
I never really looked at it, but I can't understand what it's talking about. But yeah, in the introduction to the sefer, it says that when Adam Rishon got kicked out of Gan Eden, so he gave a whole tefillah. He said a whole tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should grant him different types of wisdom and whatever. And it says that he was davening for 3 days, and when he was sitting at the river Hayet Al Hanor Hayet in Gan Eden, the Malach Raziel came to him and revealed to him certain secrets and gave him over this sefer. That's what it says in the sefer, and then it says like a whole. It gives like a whole yichus of what happened to the sefer. That afterwards, Adam Rishon taught it to Shais when Shais was 10 years old, and then Shais hid the sefer in the city called Chanoich. It says in Parshas Bereishis that Cain built a city called Chanoich after his son named Chanoich. And it says that Shais took the sefer and he hid it in a cave in that city, and then afterwards Chanoich ben Yered. Meaning, who was a descendant of Shais, who was a big tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, whatever. So they were megala to him where the sefer was hidden, and he found it, and then it was hidden afterwards again, and then it was revealed to Noach, and then afterwards Noach gave it over to his son Shem, and Shem to Avram, Avram to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, Yaakov to Levi, Levi to Moshe, Moshe to Aaron, Aaron to Pinchas, and Pinchas gave it to his children, and all the generations have it because of that. That's what it says in the introduction to the sefer Azil HaMalach. Try reading the sefer. I don't understand what it's talking about. It's mamish real deep Kabbalah. But the point is that it says in that sefer that Adam Rishon was sitting and davening by the Nahar Hayetzim Eden. So that sounds like what we said from the Ramah on the Ein Yaakov, that the Gichon over here was talking about the Gichon of Parshas Bereishis, the Gichon of Rashi, that Rashi said that it's talking about the Mishloach. Fine. Agav, we said that Adam Rishon fasted for 49 days. So there's a Medrash that says that 49 days, that Hevel died or was killed when he was 50 days old. So we'll discuss it when we talk about Cain and Hevel, I'm not sure. But when he was 50. So that would seem to suggest that the day that Adam Rishon stopped fasting was the day that Hevel was killed by Cain. But it's not true, because Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer actually holds that Hevel was killed 6 months, when he was 6 months old, not 50 days old. So it doesn't really work out. But like, if you put this together with a different measure, it would work out. But Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer itself wouldn't hold that. Yeah, but he was when he was born, he developed much faster than people develop nowadays. Like the Gemara in Chulin says that in Daf Samach, the Gemara Chulin says that Adam Rishon was created as if he was a 20-year-old man.
Right.
Adam and Chava were created like they were 20-year-old people.
Right.
I guess that's like the prime of a person's life when he's 20. So I guess we're all past that.
I remember asking the question once. 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have a belly button or not.
Did what? Did Adam have a bar mitzvah?
A belly button.
Oh, belly button. So what did he say? He didn't know.
But we know that Hashem created Adam blameless.
Right, right.
A complete person.
That's a good one. Did Adam Rishon have a belly button? I don't know. I bet you never thought of that. Okay. The Radal asks some more questions. The Radal asks, Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says, on Yod Chesam in Beis, Gemara in Erevin says, Haya Rabbi Meir Aymer. Rabbi Meir used to say, Adam Rishon chassid gadol haya. Adam Rishon was very chassidish. Like, he was very pious. Kevin Shirosh Niknas Misa Al Yaday, once he saw that there was a decree of death that came because of him, Yosha Betainis Meya Ushleshim Shana. He sat and fasted for 130 years. Pashtus, that means that he fasted during the day and ate at night, maybe. Upirish mina isha mei ushleishim shana, and he's separated from his wife for 130 years, etc. The Gemara says that during those 130 years, the different shadim came and had children with Adam Rishon from the shadim, and that's how we have these different mazikin and ruchin and lilin or whatever these different tachan. The point is that it says in the Gemara Adam Rishon fasted 130 days. So ask the Radal, whoa, over here we said he fasted for 49 days. Over there it says 130 days.
No, 130 years.
So you could say, you know, okay, maybe it's a mochleikus. So who cares? So here it says one thing, here it says one thing, it's a mochleikus. That's one way you can answer it. But the other way, the Radal says, you don't have to say it's a mochleikus. You could say that when we said he fasted for 49 days, we mean really he fasted 130 years. But 49 days of those 130 years, he spent fasting inside the river. That's what it means in the Medrash. And there's no machlekes. That you could say, like, the first 49 days of those 130 years he spent at the river, and then he was fasting outside of the river.
And what was Chava doing? I heard Chava was crying all the time.
Chava was crying.
She did her own show.
There is such a Medrash that says that also Chava was giving birth to like Shadim and stuff or something. I seem to remember such a thing.
That's cute.
Yeah, I seem to remember there's like one Medrash that says that. I would have to look for it, but... Shalom Aleichem. So the Radha asked another question. The Gemara in the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah, Taf Ches and Rav. The Mishnah says there's the different holidays that the Goyim have. It lists off different holidays of Avodah Zarah that you're not allowed to do business with Goyim because then you're going to use the money for idolatrous purposes. And the Mishnah says one thing called Kalanda and one thing called Satranura. There's a Goyisha holiday called Kalanda and a Goyisha holiday called Satranura. So the Gemara says that Kalanda is 8 days after Tkufas Tammuz, the winter solstice. Kalanda is a holiday that's 8 days after the winter solstice. And Satranura is a holiday that's 8 days before the winter solstice. Now, Agav, we know through other sources that the Romans had a pagan holiday in the middle of the winter called Saturnalia. Our Gemara says Saturnura, but we know that the real name was Saturnalia. Look in the history books that they speak about it. It's clear. You can look it up on Wikipedia if you want. So the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah already asks this question. He says, what do you mean Saturnura? It's not called Saturnura. That wasn't the name of the holiday. It was called Saturnalia. So he says that really the Mishnah knew that it's called Saturnalia, not Saturnura. But the Mishnah changed the name because we didn't want to say that, we didn't want to speak out the name of the Avodah Zarah Tikkun holiday. So we called it something else. But we're alluding to the same thing. As you probably realize, Saturnaria, Saturnalia, whatever, has to do with the pagan god, the Roman god of Saturn. There's a planet named after him, whatever. So, okay, so the Gemara says like this. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned that Baisa, when Adam Rishon, after Adam Rishon was Chayte, so he saw that the days started getting less and less. Meaning, let's say Adam Rishon was Chayte, let's say on Rosh Hashanah when the day was created, right? Which is the beginning of the winter season, and then from now on, the days are getting less, smaller and smaller, right? Nates is getting later, Shkia is getting earlier, I believe, right? Nates is getting later, and Shkia is getting earlier. So the amount of time during the day where there's daylight is getting less and less. So Adam Rishon was worried. You have to know exactly how this works out because with the calendar. By the way, the word calendar probably is the source of the word calendar. But Adam Rishon saw that the days were getting less and less, and he was worried. He said, "Shema b'shil shesarachti olam choshuch ba'adi. Maybe because I did this avera, the world is going to be dark for me. The days are just going to get shorter and shorter and shorter till there is no day left, and then the world is going to go back to tayu v'avoyu like it was before Hashem created it." And that's what Hashem meant when Hashem said that you're going to be killed. That's what it means, you're going to be killed. The whole world is going to go back to what it was and be destroyed. So Adam Rishon sat for 8 days in fasting and in davening. Kevin Shirot Tkufas Tevis, and then he saw the winter solstice, and he saw that the days are starting to get longer and longer. So Adam Rishon realized, ah, kach min hagay shel olam, that's just the way the world works, that there's cycles, that the days get shorter and the days get longer, and that's the way it works. So then he made a yontif for 8 days. And then the Gemara says, afterwards, the next year, Adam Rishon made a yontif for 8 days to commemorate the 8 days that he fasted, and then he made another yontif for 8 days to commemorate the 8 days that he feasted. Right? He made a whole holiday out of it. Right? So one says that Adam Rishon made the holiday l'shem shemayim, and then the Ovde Kechavim, the Goyim, took that holiday and they perverted it and they used it for their avodah zaras. So if you have a holiday that there's two holidays, mamish, in the middle of the winter. They're like a seven day period that the Goyim took and they used it for their own purposes. One's called Christmas and one is called New Year's. That's not entirely accurate, but that's more or less where the Christians sort of took those two holidays from Saturnalia and Kalanda, which were Roman pagan holidays, and the Christians sort of turned it into gave it their own religious significance. So those two holidays are these two holidays from Adam Rishon. Just they messed it up.
So that means that there is something behind it.
Yeah.
You know, what do we do? We do Hanukkah and what? Hanukkah comes around the same time.
Hanukkah sometimes comes around the same time as Xmas.
Yeah. And what about Sukkot?
New Year's. No, not Sukkot. But the point is that this Gemara says that Adam Rishon made a yontif 8 days.
Okay.
Now, asks the Radal, and we're talking about this is right after his chait, asks the Radal, the Gemara in Erevin just said that he fasted for 130 years. So how did he make an 8 day yontif? He was fasting.
It meant to be afterward, no?
Huh?
It meant to be after.
So, because we're talking about right after the chait. Both of these are talking about right after the chait. The Gemara in Erevin said that after he learned that he's Niknas Alav Misa, so he fasted for 130 years. And here we're saying after he realized, after he learned that it was Niknas Alav Misa, so he fasted for 8 days, and then he saw that that's the way the world works, and then he made a yomta for 8 days. So the Pashtas are both talking about the same time period. So how could it be that he's fasting for 130 years, and on the other hand, he made an 8 day yomta in the middle? So that's what the Radal asks. So the Radal has an interesting idea. The Radal says it could be that this 8 day yontif that Adam Rishon had is not yontif that we know. We know yontif, you sit and you eat and you have geshmaka food and geshmaka drinks, whatever. It could be that when Adam Rishon had a yontif, it didn't mean that type of yontif. Rather, it just meant that he had simchas aleiv, he was happy, and he had ksus nikiya, he was wearing like fancy nice clothing. That's what it means that he made a yontif, but not that he ate. So that's how the Radal answers up the story. And he says that we find such a concept by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a yomtiv that we have that we don't eat on it. So what's the yomtiv? What's the simchas yomtiv of Yom Kippur? It's a certain simchas halev that we know that we're getting a kapara for our veras, and we wear like nice clothing on Yom Kippur. We wear white clothing, etc. We don't wear weekday clothing. He says that other mishnah that's sort of like a Yom Kippur. That's what it means that he made a yomtiv. So. The Radal asks another. Now he asks the question the opposite way. He says, "The Gemara says that he fasted for 8 days. Yeah, what do you mean he fasted for 8 days? He fasted for 130 years. Who tell me he fasted 8 days? 8 days. Those 8 days are just part of his 130 years. So we asked a similar question that he fasted for 49 days. So he said that those 49 days in the river. Well, what are you going to say about the Gemara? The Gemara says he fasted 8 days." So what's the difference between the fast of those 8 days than the fast of the rest of the 130 years? So the Radal says, maybe you could say that he had extra chumas of fasting. He took upon himself extra chumas of fasting. Extra chumri tiniest for those 8 days. That's what the Gemara meant. Really, he fasted 130 years. But of those 130 years, there were 8 days where he was specifically fasting that he did certain chumras of tainus. What are those chumras of tainus? So I was thinking like this. We know that on Yom Kippur there's chamesh inuyim. There's five things that are also to do on Yom Kippur. Right? Achila and Shtia, right? Eating and drinking. You're not allowed to do Yom Kippur. Right? You're not allowed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur. Right? So you can't say that Adam Rishon didn't eat and drink for those 8 days and not for the 130 years because he was fasting. Fasting means not eating and drinking. So you can't be talking about that. Tashmi Shemitah is also also on Yom Kippur. So maybe you'll say, oh, the 8 days he didn't do Tashmi Shemitah, but the rest of the 130 years he did. No, you can't say that either, because the Gemara said he separated from his wife for 130 years. Wearing leather. So I would say maybe it's hard to say that he refrained from wearing leather, because we said in the beginning of the Perek, the Radal said, the Medrash said that what was the kasnus or that Adam Rishon wore, well, the coat of leather. The Medrash said it's because it's from the skin that Hashem took off of the Nahash. So the Radal said, why should that be? So he said, because there's no other skin around, because it was also for him to kill animals. So what leather would Adam Rishon be wearing? So it can't be that he refrains from wearing leather for those 8 days. So the only thing would have to be rechitza, right? Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe, right? But we know that he was in the river for eight days. So you can't say he refrained from bathing either. So the only thing it could possibly be is sicha, where you're not allowed to smear yourself with oil on Yom Kippur. So I would say that on those 8 days that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about, he didn't smear himself with oil, which is, but the rest of the 130 years he did. That's the only thing I could understand that the Radal is talking about. No, you have another way of understanding what the Radal is saying. Okay. One last point, and then we're going to go weiter. Yeah, one last point. Two last points, and we'll go weiter. The Ritva in Maseches Avodah Zarah asks an interesting question. Daf Ches Mem Aleph. We saw that Adam Rishon saw that the days were getting shorter and shorter. So he thought maybe it's because of Maya Veir that the days are getting shorter. So asks the Ritva, Tamani. It's a wonderment. How can he make a mistake in the order of the natural order of the world? Adam Rishon, how can Adam Rishon make a mistake in the natural order of the world? He was full of wisdom like a malach of Hashem. How can he make a mistake and think that the world is getting, the days are getting shorter because of his avera? It's obvious that it's because of nature. He's so smart. Why would he make such a mistake? You hear the Ritva's question? So Ritva answers, I think it's an important idea. Ritva answers, B'shema mitoy chetoy va'anovov nutrifadetoy. Maybe because of the Avera, he felt so guilty that he wasn't thinking properly. His mind was clouded. The Avera blocked him from using his brain. Yeah, you're right. If you would actually sit down and think about it, he would realize that the day is getting shorter, because that's what happens. The day gets shorter, the day gets longer, depending on the rotation of the earth on its axis. It's a positive thing. But he didn't realize it because he was so guilty and his conscience was bothering him so much because of his avera that it didn't let him think properly. He was so taken aback, he was so bothered by it that he couldn't. And then the Ritva says, "V'ein meshivin ba'agada." You can't ask questions like this on the Gadat Gemaras. But that's one clue that the Ritva says. Agav, the Gemara already speaks that this whole story only works if you learn that B'tishrei Nivra Olam. So Adam Rishon was created right before the days started getting shorter. But if you learn B'nisa Nivra Olam, so he was created right before the days started getting longer. So the Gemara asks that question. The other Nakuda I wanted to say, what time is it, by the way?
54. 54? 54,
yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah?
59,
56. Okay, so I'll say this, but...
Yeah.
35. The Medrash, the Slichas that we said this morning, is Slicha Nun Gimel for Tzem Gedalia, Nusach Ashkenaz. I don't know if this, I didn't have a chance to see if Nusach Sfarad says it. It's called Haresa Derech Tshuva Levasa Sheveva. It's talking about different people who historically did Tshuva. So it mentions other mission doing tshuva, like we're talking about over here in our medrash. It said, "Heish afras tevel, behold the first of the earth's dust, Asher Rishay Neitzar, who was created first." Agav, this goes with a medrash that says that Hashem created the form of Adam Rishon first, and then He created everything else, and then He gave Adam Rishon life, which is the Yalkut Shemayin B'Shem Medrash Avkir and Simin Lamed Dalet in Yalkut Shemayin in Parshas Bereishis, which doesn't work with what we've said in Pirkei Deb Lezer. The first Shtigl and Seder Deres already mentions this. That's what I understand what the Piyut is saying. The Adam Rishon was the first thing that was formed. When the Sisa b'mitzah kala, Hashem tested him with an easy commandment, and that commandment Adam Rishon didn't keep. So amtava, and after Allah, you were raged and you were furious at him. Shneisav l'katzer, and you made a gzeah that his years are going to be shortened. What happened? Chazar b'tshuva, he returned to tshuva b'cha'ishan hunzar, and you guarded him like an ishain. You know what an ishain is? An ishain is a pupil. Adam Rishon, Hashem made like a whole gzeah that He's going to kill Adam Rishon early and this and that, whatever. And then He did tshuva, and then ki'ishen, there's an expression used in Chazal, kibabas einoi. Means like you love someone, kibabas einoi, like your own eye. Like you feel such a connection to him, it's like part of your body. So ki'ishen hunza, like Hashem mamish protected Adam Rishon with such a love, with such a close protection. Ki'ishen, like his pupil. Agav, I don't know why, but the for some reason the Hasidi Ashkenaz are like very proud of this vart. Why is a pupil called an ishain? Yeah. So Rishonim say in other contexts that if you have a word that has and then it has a vav nun at the end of it, the vav nun means small, whatever that word is. So the Hasidi Ashkenaz, this Talmidim of Rebbe Chassid, I saw this in like a whole bunch of their Sfarim. Like they mentioned this like wherever they could like stop it in, even if it has like no Sheikhas. They mentioned that the word Ishain comes from the word small person. Ish Vav Nun. Small Ish. Why? Because if you look at someone else's pupil, what do you see? You see a small person. You see a small version of yourself. So like they're all proud of the, and they say this part like all the time. It's not an interesting idea. But that this period is exactly what we're talking about over here. The other mission did tshuva, and Kodesh Baruch Hu was in the Kabbalah, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu took him under his wing. Like we said over here in the Medrash, that Pasha Yad Yeminah Yvehevi Yaz Chatzosei. Fine. Now the next part of the parak, Pashtus has no shaykhus that we're talking about until now. Until now we're talking about the tshuva of other mission. Pashtus, this is a new sugya. Yosh Adam Vidarash Bilibay. Adam Rishon sat and was expanding in his heart. V'omar, he said to himself, Ki yodati mois maves toshiveni. I know that death is going to return upon me. Ubeis mayid l'chol chay. And where is the base mayid, the house of the set time for every creation? The house of the set time for every creation is referring to his burial. Where am I going to be buried? That's what Adam Rishon is bothered by. So Pashtus is like, this is a new sugi. Now he's going to discuss where the mission is going to be buried. But you could say, and it could be that the Radal is also saying this, that Adam Rishon was thinking about his death specifically as part of his tshuva. As the Mishnah in Maseches Avos says, a famous Mishnah, they say it by Levayas, Akavya ben Nahara Leimer, his taka b'shleisha dvolim, v'enat avoli de'avera, Perek Gimel Maseches Avos. Look at three things and you won't come to do a ver. My iron balls. Know from where you come to where you're going and in front of whom you're destined to give a din v'cheshbin. From where do you come? Tipasucha. Where you're destined to go? L'makam afar rima v'teileya. To a place of dirt and worms. And in front of who are you going to give a din v'cheshbin? V'teimelech v'achim v'achim v'kodesh baruch. So there's the Indian that if a person is tackled by Shlesha Dvarim, these three things, he's going to stay away from affair. So if a person thinks about where he's going, to Mokam offer Rima Bateleah, he's going to be buried under the ground with dirt and worms and all these things, it's going to stop a person from doing affairs. So could be this was part of Adam Rishon's Mahalcha Tshuva, to think about, to realize this is where he's going, Mi Yomosu Mi Yichya, etc. That's what was part of his tshuva, to think about Darish Beliboy, that is the lashon of the Medrash. Darish Beliboy of what's gonna be in the future when death comes upon him. The Radal has another idea that the minig was in his time that a person would dig his own grave in his lifetime. He says either because of tshuva, to remind himself of the day of his death, or he says to ingrain in himself the idea of tchias hamesim. That he's saying, I'm going to build my caver, and eventually I'm going to go there and I'm going to come back from there. Not sure exactly how that works, but it has to do with ingraining into a person's idea the concept of tchias hamesim. So Adam Rishon said, where am I going to be buried? Omar Adam said, Ad shani ba'olam, while I'm still here in this world, evidently based more than the rivtzi, I'm going to build for myself a hotel for when I rivtzi is like a lashon of lying down. Sometimes it means crouch, sometimes it means lying down. Chutz la Har Maria, outside of Har Maria. I'm going to make myself a place to be buried outside of Har Maria. We said earlier in the parak, the Adam Rishon lived originally lived in Har Maria when he left Gan Eden. That's where the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. So he said, I want to build a place to be buried outside of Har Maria, which we know is going to be Chevron, which is not so far from Har Maria in Yerushalayim. Chevron is not so far from Yerushalayim. V'chotzav ubana le Beis Moloin the Rivtzi, and he dug and he built for himself a Beis Moloin, which in modern Hebrew would mean a hotel. Yeah, a Beis Moloin for him to rest. Moloin just means a place to sleep, really. And it's talking about the eternal sleep. Moloin comes from the Lashon of Lina. But yeah, modern Hebrew means a hotel. Amar Adam. Fine. So that's what. So he decided he's gonna build himself a place to be buried, and he built himself a place to be buried. Amar Adam. It is an interesting thing. What was Adam Rishon thinking in how to form the place where he's gonna bury himself, where he's gonna allow himself to be buried? Amar Adam. Adam Rishon said, Mo haluchis shehena sidin lihikosev be'etzpoir shal kadosh baruch hu. Just like the luchos, the tablets that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is destined to write with its finger, that sounds like the luchos weren't written yet, even though it sounds like from some mefarshim in the Mishnah Avos that was one of the things that were created erev Shabbos ben Shoshes. But the luchos, which are destined to be written by the finger of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and in the future are going to be that these luchos are going to be so holy that in the future, when the Jews are crossing the Yarden and with Yeshua, and Yeshua, instead of having the Levim carrying the Aron in the middle of the Machane Yisrael, so Yeshua switched it, and Yeshua had the Kehanim carrying the Aron, not in the middle of Machane Yisrael, but in the front of Machane Yisrael. And once they got to the Jordan River, the Jordan River just split because of the Kedusha of the Aron and what was in the Aron, the Luchos. So the luchos were so holy that it made the yarden split into half. Goofy, my body, says Adam Rishon, shekibel shmishteyotov, that Kodesh Baruch Hu needed with his two hands, not just a finger, two hands, v'ruch nishmas piv, nopach ba'api, and he blew a breath of neshama into my nose. Al achas kama v'kama, how much more so is my body going to have supernatural abilities? What's going to happen after I die? My body's going to have such supernatural abilities. People are going to take my bones or my skin or whatever, and they're going to use it as an avodah zarah, because they could do all kinds of super cool natural things with it. So Adam said, no, I don't want that to happen. So what did he do? Ella Amik ani aroini lamata min ma'ara v'lefnim min ma'ara. I'm gonna go put myself, my aron, my coffin deep into the cave, and inside the cave, and then under the cave. So like there's like two levels, like all the way inside, and then make a cave inside a cave. The Radal has like a little picture. Right.
Cave within a cave.
The fikach nikris ma'as hamachpela she kfula. This is why it's called ma'as hamachpela, because it's a double cave. There's a cave inside the cave. V'sham hu nasun, and over there, agav, we find the Gemara in Bava Basra where Rabbi Banoi found, and Daphne Chesman Alav, Rabbi Banoi found where Adam Rishon was buried. So you see that even when the Mabel destroyed the whole world, that Adam Rishon's body was like still intact. So you see that there was talking some sort of like holy thing about it. And in fact, the Zohar says that if Ephron would have known Zohar in Parshas Chayisara, the Zohar says that if Ephron would have known that the Adam Rishon was buried in Maris Machpelah, he would never have sold it to Avram Avinu. But also,
that's where
Adam Rishon was buried. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But it's an interesting thing. We find this idea that somebody was chayshed that they're going to turn him into a Avodah Zarah after he dies by Yaakov Avinu, that he dafka said, don't bury me in Mitzrayim, bury me in Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't want them to turn him into a Avodah Zarah. And also Rabbi Leomi Izmir says over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem dafka buried Moshe Rabbeinu in a place where nobody knows where he is, so that he won't turn into a Avodah Zarah. And the Muslims still turned it into a Avodah Zarah. We don't know where he's buried. They decided, they made up a whole place where he's buried, and they made a whole mosque over there. They made it up, but they still turned them into a Avodah Zarah. Okay, whatever. Islam is not real Avodah Zarah, but right. Vishama, and who knows when that's where Adam Rishon is buried. Adam, and who else is buried there? Adam v'Chava, Avram v'Sara, Yitzhak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leah. There are four couples buried there: Adam and Chava, Avram and Sara, Yitzhak v'Rivka, Yaakov and Leah.
And the head of Yishmael.
And the head of Esav, yeah. Well, the Fikach Nikris Kiryas Arba, and that's why the city of Hebron is called the city of four. Shnikbru ba Arba Zugais, because there's four couples that are buried over there. Vaaleh Makasuvaymer, about them the pasuk says Yavai Shalom Yanuchu Meshkavaysam Chedach Nechachay, that the death is coming to greet them. And Gemara says that death is coming to greet them. It's talking about when a person dies, so all the tzaddikim and Gan Eden come to greet him. Here we're saying that people sort of dealt with their death before it happened. This idea that it's called Kiryas Arba because of the four couples is brought down in Rashi and Chumash and Parshas Chayisara. There's other reasons why it's called Kiryas Arba. I'll just say them over very quickly. Rashi in Sefer Yeshua and Perek Yudalid and the Ramban and Parshas Shlach say that the reason is because there was a giant who lived in Hebron and his name was Arba. So it's called Kiryas Arba, the city of Arba. Arba is a proper name, not meaning four. What?
Oh.
No, different giants. A different giant. His name was Arba. Rashi in Parshas Chayisara says another pshat why it's called Kiryas Arba, because there were four giants there. Zachiman, Sheshai, Talmai, and their father. So four giants. So Kiryas Arba, the city of four, the city of the four giants. And then Rashi says the same pshat as Arba Medrash over here, that's because of the four couples. And then if you look in Bereishis Rabba, in Parsha Nun Ches Simin Dalet, it has a whole bunch of explanations. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? One is because there were four people who lived there, four tzaddikim who lived there, and four tzaddikim who had their bris milah there. There's Aner, Eshkol, Mamre, and Avram. Avram Avinu and his three friends, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Then it says another pshat is because there were four tzaddikim who were buried there. It says Adam, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Another pshat is because there were four imahis who were buried there, Chava, Sar, Rivka, and Leah. It's interesting, it splits it over there. It says either because of the four tzaddikim or the four imahis. Our Medrash says because of the four couples, and Rashi says four couples. It doesn't say it like that. Like the Medrash sort of splits it into two explanations. Another pshat is because from there, Avram Avinu went to chase the four kings. So that's why it's called the city of four. Another pshat is because that city belonged to, it had four different garolas and it ended up going to four different people. It was originally supposed to be to Yehuda, and then Yeshua decided to give it over to Kalev, and then there was a girl and it became one of the city of the Levium, and then from the city of the Levium it became a city of the Kehanim. So there are four different places. And then the last thing is that in the Medrash Chemdas Yomim, it says that the reason why it's called Kiryas Arba is because there were four different Goyishan nations in the time of Avraham Avinu, they were fighting over sovereignty over the city. They each said that it belonged to them. Alright. He didn't say which. Alright. Have it easy fast. Call to.